Unit 15, Socialist Movement. Page 29, Structure, 15.0, Objectives, 15.1, Introduction, 15.2, Progressive Nature of Socialist Movement, 15.3, Work of Raja Ram Mohan Roy, 15.4, The Arya Samaj, 15.5, The Theosophical Movement of Ramakrishna Mission, 15.6, Muslim Reform Movement, A Legal Movement, 15.7, Gandhi is a social and religious reformer. 15.8, Dr. B. R. Ambedkar is a social reformer. 15.9, let us sum up. 15.10, self-assessment questions. And 15.11, books for further study. Page 30, 15.0, objectives. In this unit, you will try to have the glimpse of the Indian society in the beginning of the 19th century. We shall at once come to know that it was the suffering from various social and religious ills, blind faith, caste distinction, early marriage, sati and parda system, etc., were deep-rooted in the Indian society of religion. The European nations, especially the English, as a result of these events from which the Indian society was suffering, won over Christian faith. When everything was going wrong, some of the Indian reformers, both Hindus and Muslims, felt very much alarmed at the rapid speed of conversion of their countrymen to Christianity. To mend matters, they started various social and religious movements, and they tried to get rid of the Indian society of its several ills. Of all such reformers who tried to care of the Indian societies of its several ills in the name of Raja Ram Mohan Roy, Swami Dayanand Saraswati, Sir Syed Ahmed Khan, Annie Besant, Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. B. R. Ambedkar deserve a special mention. 15.1, Introduction. According to some critics, the movements of religious and social reforms and religious revivalism, which blossomed so vigorously and successfully during the 19th century, also contributed to the growth of national sentiment of India. This again is only partially true. While these movements did not to some extent encourage the growth of national sentiment, they were in fact to a large extent not to cause by the product of development of nationality in the country. They were the results of leaders' desire to raise Indian society from its degradation and corruption into which it had fallen at that time. It should be remembered that many Indians had so completely surrendered their self-respect that they had completely lost confidence in their own capacity for self-government. Moreover, many British officials and writers of that time constantly harped the thesis that India had never been able to rule themselves in the past, and that they were destined to be ruled by foreigners, and that their religious and social life were degenerated. It, however, goes to the credit of some of the forward-looking, imaginative leaders that they were not disheartened to adverse criticism. They stoutly contested the validity of the thesis of the Europeans. They were reinforced by their faith in the past greatness of their country. They, therefore, undertook the gigantic task of educating their countrymen. By their dedication, the spirited sense of mission, they tried their utmost to requite self-respect and self-confidence among their countrymen. The glorification of the past had almost become a fetish with some. They confidently asserted the superiority of Indian religions, philosophy and morality. In this task, they were ably helped and encouraged by writings of some Europeans who were assisting them to rediscover their national heritage. Some of the flattering paid by the foreign scholars, writers and savants of the greatness of Indian art, architecture and philosophy had an uplifting impact even on those who were depressed and who had come after to subscribe the thesis of the congenital inferiority of the Indians. Page 31. A number of reformers and saints started thinking and working on new lines in order to give fresh vitality to the old orthodox ideas of Hinduism. Though the Western civilization might have also been influenced by the corresponding effects of the thought and culture, we have to now consider the nature of the growth of reform movement in India. 15.2, Progressive Nature and Socialist Movement. The contact of the West brought many new ideas in Indian life and disturbing existence structure. Towards the end of the 18th century and the beginning of the 19th century, the Hindu religion had reached a point of stagnation. The creative spirit lost its vigor. It required new challenges to reorganize its structure and the changing pattern of society. Such an experience was known to us in the case of Buddhism and Jainism in the past. It has outlived the challenges of Islamic religion even in the times of Mughal rule. Similarly, although there existed no danger of total overshadowing by Christianity, it was equally true in the sense of new reforms was created in the minds of saints and prophets of India. A number of reformers contributed towards the new adjustments of confrontation with Christianity. The pioneering work was done by Brahma Samaj of Ram Mohan Roy, to whose estimate we must now turn. There was a general recognition of the existing evils and abuses in society and religion. But, as usual, the reforming was followed by diverse channels. Some were lured by the Western ideas to follow an extreme radical policy, and this naturally provoked a reaction, which sought to strengthen the forces of orthodoxy. Between these two extremes, the moderate reformers who wanted to proceed forward more cautiously along the lines of least resistance. We are now even too close to the period to appraise correctly the value of different forces that they were work of the consequences that followed from them. We shall therefore confine ourselves merely to a review to the chief movements. It would be convenient to study under the two heads. First, the movements of resulting the establishment of group or order outside the pale of orthodox Hindu society, and secondly, general changes in the belief, custom and practices of Hindus as a whole. 15.3. The work of Raja Ram Mohan Roy. Raja Ram Mohan Roy, a great reformer of the early 19th century, was born in 1774 in a well-to-do Brahmin family of Bengal. Soon he came to acquire a good proficiency in Arabic, Persian and Sanskrit. Later on, he learnt English and also picked up some knowledge of French, Latin and Greek. Page 32. This knowledge of various languages enabled him to have comparative idea of various religions of the world. The credit of starting this religion and social reformation of modern India undoubtedly goes to Raja Ram Mohan Roy. He was born at such a time when India was passing through one of its darkest periods. Various evils like blind faith, sacrificial rituals, caste divisions, worship of idols, etc. has greatly overshadowed the Hindu religion. Raja Ram Mohan Roy tried to cure the Hindu religion of all its evil by taking various constructive steps. 1. He preached the unity of Godhead and denounced idol worship like anything. He asserted that idol worship was not recognized in the Vedas. 2. He did not believe in caste distinctions and class hatred. So he rejected the barriers created by them and preached equality and brotherhood among all human beings. He was rather in favor of a universal religion where the accursed class division had no place. 3. He also preached against blind faith, costly sacrifices and superstition, and laid emphasis on reasoning power and purity of action. 4. Perhaps his greatest achievement in the religious field was the foundations of Brahma Samaj in 1828. This institution played an important part in reforming the Hindu religion. In the beginning, its work was limited to Bengal alone, but slowly and slowly the Samaj opened its branches to many other parts of India, including Bombay, Mumbai, Madras, Chennai, Punjab. By his all-round and useful religion reforms, Raja Ram Mohan Roy greatly reformed the religion and showed a new light to India. Raja Ram Mohan Roy did a praiseworthy work in the social field also. As a result of the sati system, no arrangement for widow remarriage and no equal status to women, polygamy, illiteracy and deplorable condition of the peasants and other such ills of the Indian society were going a tremendous shock. It is because of this deplorable condition of the Indian society that the 18th century is generally regarded as one of the darkest periods of Indian history. At such a stage, Raja Ram Mohan Roy greatly curbed the Indian society of its various ills and set it on the right footing. 1. First of all, Raja Ram Mohan Roy paid his attention towards the accursed sati system. It was due to his help that Lord William Bentinck abolished sati system in 1829 and declared its legal offence. When certain orthodox Hindus tried for repeal by appealing to the Privy Council. It was because of the great effort made by Raja Ram Mohan Roy that the appeal of pro-sati was rejected. 2. Then he preached the remarriage of widows with all emphasis, otherwise the abolition of sati system had no meaning. 3. Then he tried to obtain a respectable position for women in the society of India, because it was then and there alone that India could make a rapid progress. Page 33. Again, he attacked polygamy, or the practice of marrying more than one wife, because such a practice was against the spirit of equality of status, and was also harmful to health. 5. In the Indian society, various superstitions, blind faiths and like were quite deep-rooted. In order to cure the Indian society of these ills, Raja Ram Mohan Roy was in favour of introducing the study of English as the medium of instruction. 6. As a result of the permanent settlement of Bengal and the peasants of this province had been almost reduced to a life of poverty and misery, Raja Ram Mohan Roy attempted to improve their lot. Thus, by removing various religious and social evils, he tried to make India quite progressive and dynamic in character. It was he who prepared the Indian politically conscious. He was undoubtedly the pioneer in this field, and he had justly been called the father of Indian Renaissance and the prophet of the Indian nation. 15.4. The Arya Samaj. The first in the order of this time is the Arya Samaj, founded by Swami Dayanand Saraswati, 1824 to 1883. He was a good Sanskrit scholar, but has no English education. His motto was, "Go back to the Vedas." He wanted to shape society on the model of the Vedas by removing all latter outgrowths. He not only disregarded the authority of the latter outgrowths, he not only disregarded the authority of the latter scriptures like the Puranas, but had no hesitation in declaring them to be the writings of the selfish, ignorant men. His basic standpoint was, therefore, exactly that of Raja Ram Mohan Roy, and the detailed views of the both were to great extent similar. Like the Raja, Dayanand believed in one God and decried polytheism and use of images. He also raised his voice against the restriction of caste, child marriage and prohibition of sea voyages, and encouraged female education and remarriage of widows. He began the Shuddhi movement, that is, conversion of non-Hindus to Hinduism, which has since become such an important feature of the Hindu reform movement. The Shuddhi movement was undoubtedly meant to realize the ideal unifying Indian nationality, socially and religiously. Like Raja Ram Mohan Roy, Dayanand Saraswati published his views through printed books, his most famous work being the Satyartha Prakas, which expounded his doctrine and formulated a doctrine sui generis. Unlike Raja Ram Mohan Roy, however, Dayanand preached directly to the masses and did not confine his teaching to intellectual elite. As a result, his followers rapidly increased in numbers and his teaching took deep root, especially in Punjab and some states in North India. Page 34. Although Dayanand studied the same basic principle as Raja Ram Mohan Roy, he lacked the critical spirit of the latter. He claimed that any scientific theory or principle which thought to be of modern origin may be proved to be set forth in the Vedas. On ultimate analysis, his general principles amounts to this, that the Vedas interpreted by Dayananda contain all breadth. The interpretation of Dayananda, however, differ widely from traditional Hindu as well as the modern Western exegesis. In spite of his obvious limitations, Dayananda undoubtedly proved a dynamic force in the Hindu society. His appeal to the masses, which was attended by splendid success, was an eye-opener to all reformers, social, religious and political, and the social and educational work done by him and his followers has achieved solid results. His work was continued after his death by his followers, chief among whom were Lala Hansraj, Pandit Gurudutt, Lala Lajpat Rai and Swami Shraddhananda. It may be noted in conclusion that Dayananda, at the beginning of his career, tried to come to terms with the Brahma Samaj, and a conference was held in Kolkata, in 1869, with that the end in view. Nothing, however, came of it, and the Arya Samaj, ultimately overwhelmed and absorbed by the Brahma Samaj movement in Punjab, where in Lahore a Brahma Samaj had already been started in 1863. 15.5. The Theosophical Movement, Ramakrishna Mission. The word theosophy has been constituted by combining two great words, that is, theos, which means God, and sophia, which means wisdom. Therefore, theosophy means knowledge of God. In Sanskrit, it's called Brahmagyan. The Theosophical Society was founded by Madame Blavatsky and Colonel H.S. Olcott in the United States in 1875. They came to India later in and established the headquarters of the society at Adyar, a suburb of Madras, Chennai. They were inspired by Indian thought and culture. The society becomes a great force in Indian life and politics after its great protagonist, Mrs. Annie Besant, came and settled in India in 1893. Her exertions and eloquence soon led to the establishment of many branches of the society all over India. The society had little success as a religious cult in India, but it led to the revived faith of the minds of the Western educated Hindus in the Hindu regions, which it praised in Western terms. The revived faith of ancient Indian Hinduism instilled in the minds of educated India a new self-respect, a pride of the past, a way of patriotic life and the beginning of rebuilding of nation. A culmination which is materially promoted, by the way, in which Mrs. Annie Besant, with whom the Theosophical Society in India came to be identified, threw herself into the Indian National Movement as led by the Indian National Congress. Page 35. Annie Besant toured through India giving lectures in defense of traditional Hinduism, doctrine of karma, immortality of the soul, God and avatars, etc. By her dynamic personality and extraordinary eloquence, she was soon attracted by many educated Indians who accepted her as their teacher. She condemned the scientific materialism of the West. Some were carried away by the spectacle eminent white women discounting eloquently on Hinduism and justifying what Christian missionaries and European writers had denounced as a superstition. For about 20 years, she kept herself intensely devoted to the religious and social upliftment of India. She started Home Rule League in India and under its auspices established organization through the country and distributed vast quantities of propagandist literature. She had started a weekly journal named Common Weal and later brought on a daily paper which she named New India. Through then she spread her liberal principles in India. She was a social religious reformer and a political leader as well. She has even tried to bring a compromise between the moderates and the extremists in the Congress. For all these activities, she was put in jail in 1917 and released after 3 months. After that, she was honored by Indians by electing her, the President of Indian National Congress in 1917. She encouraged education in the view of this 1898. She started Central Hindu School to Banaras to give Hinduism a spearhead and assure its future. The society opened schools for men and women and also the depressed classes. It opposed child marriage, caste system, upliftment of outcasts and acceleration of the condition of widows. It denounced race and color prejudices. Theosophical Society has its branches all over the world. Through their centers, the society has made the world recognition and spiritual greatness of India. It did more useful work in creating national awakening in India. As early as 1903, Mrs. Besant avowed her political faith in their words. India must be governed on the basis of Indian feelings, Indian traditions, Indian thoughts and Indian ideas. The Theosophical Society was a powerful factor in the awakening of pride and self-respect of Indians. In this field, Dr. Annie Besant's contributions are remarkable. Ramakrishna Mission. Swami Vivekananda was a Hindu sannyasi who won international renown and organized the Ramakrishna Mission. Born in a middle-class Bengali family in Calcutta, Swami Vivekananda, whose original name was Narendranath Datta, took a B.A. degree in the Calcutta University and was studying law. When he became a disciple of Ramakrishna Paramahansa, renounced the world, became a sannyasi, travelled all over India from Himalayas to Cape Comorin, was warmly received everywhere by princes as well as peasants, and then in 1893 went to the United States to attend the famous Parliament of Religious at Chicago. He made his mark there at his very first speech, and the many discourses that he delivered in different places in the USA brought his fame and friends. Page 36. Several Americans, men and women, became his disciples, and centers for study of techniques of Ramakrishna were established in the States. From America, he went to England in 1896, where also he was warmly received by many and several English men and women, including Miss Margaret Noble, Sister Nivedita, became his disciples. On his return to India in 1896, he received a hero's welcome and began to exercise a great deal of influence in molding the religious and social ideals of his countrymen. To his Catholicity and universalism of his religious teachings of Ramakrishna, he added an emphasis on social service, on efforts to ameliorate the sufferings of men, to remove their ignorance and to help the economic regeneration, which is to be effected by improving character and developing spirit of self-sacrifice. He organized the disciples of Ramakrishna first into the body known as the Ramakrishna Mission, founded a permanent home for it in Belur, where he established the Belur Mutt and went on another tour all over India. He went to USA again in 1899 and established at San Francisco a center for the study of Vedanta and a branch of Ramakrishna Mission. On his way back, he toured several countries of Europe and felt declared that Europe was on the verge of a war. On his return to India, he established a branch of the Ramakrishna Mission with a school and a hospital at Benares. Exertions, hardship of life in a sannyasi, and a constant worry about the future of his organizations, founded by him, and a broke of his health, and he died in 1902 at the early age of 39. His speeches and writings, which have been since collected and published by the Ramakrishna Mission, cover 8 volumes, each running into about 600 pages of dosely printed matter. Among his works, Jnana Yoga, Raja Yoga, Bhakti Yoga are the most famous and were all originally written in English. The only book that he wrote in Bengali was Pracha and Paschatya, which several depth of his vision and ideas he stood for. He was a tireless correspondent whose letters so far published ran into several hundreds. He kept a diary, which unfortunately has not yet been published. His greatness lies in the circumstance that in the 19th century, when India was considered to be a very backward country, which had everything to learn from Europe, he convinced Europe that India had a great culture and a great religion from which Europe would have much to learn. He thus instilled a new self-respect in the countrymen and thus prepared the way for the self-assertion. As Sri Chakravarti Rajagopalachari observes, Swami Vivekananda saved Hinduism and saved India. But for him, we would have lost our religion and we would have not gained our freedom. 15.6 Muslim Reform Movement, Aligarh Movement. The Muslims also did not remain unaffected by the spirit of reform in this country. Some among the Muslim reformers reacted sharply against the Western culture. In the beginning of the British rule, they were not only deprived of high posts of trust and responsibility, but crafts and fine arts also slipped away from their hands on the account of their poverty and social evils. The Muslims were deprived of English education and Western culture for a long time. Though their society had been free from caste distinction and unsociability, yet child marriage, polygamy and the parda system have been practiced for a long period. Page 37. In course of time, various social evils, super items and orthodoxy crept into the realms of their religion and society. Deriving their inspiration from religious movements of the Hindus, the Muslims also strove hard of the reformment of social and religious life. The first decade of the 19th century witnessed religious reforms in the Muslim community of India. The first Muslim leader who endeavoured the purge of the Muslim society of social evils was Syed Ahmed of Bareilly. He was a follower of the Wahhabi movement, which started in Arabia towards the close of the 18th century. He stood for reform in the Muslim manners, customs and life, and aimed at the elimination of Islamic superstitions and rituals. He laid emphasis on the unity of Godhead, denounced the worship of peers and saints, advocated the abolition of Sati Islamic practices among Muslims, converts and opposed the Western education. Another movement was started by Sheikh Karamat Ali, who led purely religious and peaceful movements. He carried intensive religious propaganda, favored the tenets of Orthodox and Sufi schools. He encouraged Indian Muslims to adopt Western ideology of education. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad founded a movement called Ahmaditya Movement in the last decade of the 19th century. He was a religious reformer and established a sect. He supported the ancient traditions of the customs of Muslims. He claimed to be a messiah as proposed in the Muslim theology. In 1914, there was a split in the Ahmadiyya, a sect giving rise to the Lahore party, which is referred to acknowledge him as messiah. This split paved the way for the progressive and reactionary movement and the revival of Islam in India. Gradually, the educated Muslims realized that it is not in their interest to accept such orthodox views. Therefore, many among them favored the changes in the traditional paths of the Muslim community and tried to reform it on modern lines. Among them, the most important reform movement was the Aligarh movement led by Sir Syed Ahmad Khan. Aligarh movement. Sir Syed Ahmad Khan, 1815-1898, was a political, educational and religious reformer. He was the pioneer of Aligarh movement, which contributed most towards modernizing and awakening the Muslims in the 19th century. He sought to the revolution era, the Muslim society, education, religion. He aimed at the synthesis of Muslim culture and Western ideology and induced the Muslim culture and Western ideology and induced the Muslim masses towards the Western education culture and advocated frank social intercourse between Europeans and Muslims. He raised his voice against the parda and slavery and favored the emancipation of women. page 38. He started a monthly periodical called Tazib-ul-Akhlaq, Reform of Morals in Urdu. This magazine was devoted to the cause of social and religious upliftment of Muslims. He wrote a commentary on the Quran. He gave modern interpretations of Islamic doctrines and series of Urdu pamphlets. His religious activities led to the representation of modern religions ideas into the Muslim community. He favored the promotion of English education among the Muslims. He started a school at Ghazipur and provided the modern education to the Muslims. He established Association for the Western and Study of School and started many English schools. A scientific society established to translate standard works of English language in 1877. He started the Anglo-Oriental College at Aligarh, which later on grew up as the University of Aligarh, which became the nerve center of Aligarh movement. The Aligarh movement made valuable contributions toward the education and socio-economic progress of the Muslims in India. But this movement mostly remained to oppose the Indian nationalism. It also remained antagonistic to the Hindus and the Indian National Congress. But for the Indian Muslims, it certainly proved advantageous in many respects, as the Hindu social and religious reform movements helped in improving the Hindu religion and society. The Aligarh movement did the same service of the Muslim society. Therefore, the service of Syed Ahmed Khan to the Muslims in India is certainly creditable. The above Hindu social religious reformers contributed towards the growth of national consciousness and national movement for independence. They developed national patriotism and glorifying the Indian nation in different fields of life. They were true patriots who loved their country and worked for its welfare and the national solidarity. Their contribution towards the awakening is remarkable. 15.7. Gandhi as a social and religious reformer. Mahatma Gandhi, one of the greatest personalities of the world, who laid down the lives of welfare of humanity like Buddha and Christ, was perhaps born to tell the path of truth. Ahimsa, peace of suffering to humanity, he was born on 2nd October 1869 at Porbandar in Kathiapur, in a distinguished Vaish family. After passing his matriculation examination, he was sent to England, from where he returned as a barrister in 1890. Then, for full 20 years, he served as a countryman in Africa, and after that, he went for the next 30 years, he served his countrymen in India. It was he who played an important part in winning freedom for the country, but equally important was his work in the social and religious fields. There is no doubt Mahatma Gandhi spent a lot of his time in the struggle and independence of his country, but he did not forget to improve the social and religious condition of his countrymen side by side. Striving for independence, he also thought it was ardent duty to fight against the social and religious ills. Page 39. As a result of the British policy, both Hindus and Muslims regarded themselves as two separate nations and were not on good terms. Many backward classes, being tired of feeling the unsociability among the Hindus, were seriously thinking of leaving them, and the British government was encouraging them in that direction. As a result of the important and various European goods, Indian money was flowing out of India and foreign markets, and consequently India was rendered poorer day by day. The villagers were also feeling the evil effects of industrialization, and were badly because most of their home industries were completely ruined. The system of education was also very defective. It produced only clerks and did nothing about harmonious development of personality. The female education in particular was completely ignored. No attempt was ever made for harmonious development of a personality. No attempt was ever made for the literacy of the adults. A great majority of the Indians had completely forgotten their own ideas, and culture had become quite materialistic in their attitude as well as in their action. They had become completely degenerated and had lost their self-confidence. Mahatma Gandhi introduced reforms in every social and religious field. He opposed child marriage like anything. He himself was married at the age of 13, so he himself fully knew the evil effects of this system. He advocated the performance of marriage at quite a ripe an age, on health as well as the social grounds. As the use of wine had become quite common, Gandhi also preached against taking it, as such a habit was very extravagant, which an ordinary Indian could not afford at the very same time to injurious to his health himself. Quite simple as the outset in his habits, Gandhi advised his countrymen to lead a simple life and to develop the practice of truth and non-violence. 15.8. Dr. B.R. Ambedkar as a social reformer. Another leader of great reputation from among the depressed classes himself was Dr. Bhimrao Ramji Ambedkar. He was educated in America and England, began his life as a clerk in the government office, but was soon bounded out by the hostility of the caste Hindus. He decided to have a united front in the depressed classes who should not beg for mercy but demand rightful justice on the footing equality. Hence he declared that if Hindu religion is to be their religion, it must become a religion of social equality. So mere social reforms and the casual amendments in Hindu code were not enough according to him. Such amendments would be mere consciousness by mercy by allowing depressed classes to temples and wells here or there. But what Dr. B.R. Ambedkar wanted to purge Hinduism of the doctrine of Chaturvarnya, which is the parent of caste system and untouchability. Page 40. Dr. Ambedkar's sincere but fiery devotion to the cause of Harijans was an eye-opener to many congressmen. Otherwise, as early as 1928, Social Conference had been put forth a resolution which clearly confessed that caste system is a great obstacle to the unification of Hindu society. The conference was resolved its abolition by encouraging interdining, by promoting inter-caste marriages, and by removing untouchability. Gandhi's sudden reverse emphasizing only removal of untouchability disappointed many. The division among Hindus was revealed from time to time. Even staunch congressmen in favor of removal of untouchability refused to join the intercommunal dinners to which members of the depressed classes were invited. And if some of the first flash of enthusiasm, they performed a kind of penitential ceremony. On a simple matter of the temple entry of 5 bills that came for consideration, all except one were dropped. Before that one could be published, the central legislature of 1933 was dissolved. The Indian National Congress as a party cared for more votes of the orthodox classes. It caused a deep antipathy and a severe blow to the depressed classes. They thought that they were being used as a power in the political game between the Congress and the British government. Dr. Ambedkar got disgusted by the lip sympathy of the Congress and even leveled charges of inhuman treatment meted out to the untouchables. His remark that in temples, dogs were allowed but not human beings, that is, the untouchables, reflected the future indignation of Dr. Ambedkar and the constructive efforts being done by the All India Anti-Untouchability League 1932, which tried for the admission to public wells, dharmashalas, schools and temples. The league later on was known to be the Harijan Sevak Sangh, which tried for the education and economic and social uplift. Its activity spread to several branches all over India, particularly achieving medical aid and water supply for the untouchables. But it served as a wing of the Congress, whose donation was more fabulous than for supreme cause of untouchables. It is said that, in spite of philanthropic activities, the Sangha failed to inspire genuine sentiment for the social reform. However, out of the righteous indignation of Dr. Ambedkar and his followers, the depressed class got provoked and to come out of the Hindu fold and maintain their self-respect. As Hinduism failed to accommodate them by persuasive and convincing methods, Dr. Ambedkar, along with his followers, dared to undertake mass conversion of the untouchables to Buddhism. This is a severe blow to the nation in general and Hinduism in particular, because this class approximate represented 15% of total population and 25% of the Hindus. The reaction of Dr. Ambedkar and his followers towards the acceptance of Neo-Buddhism had to be followed and viewed from this broad viewpoint. No doubt that in the Constitution of the Independence of India, Dr. Ambedkar as the chairman could have the privilege to make special concessions to the depressed class. They helped to relax the rigidity of the caste system and loosen the foundation of the iron wall of the orthodox Hinduism. When the day will dawn of the cementing the minds of people, the right will be closed. Otherwise, the problem will be unending and which will cause the everlasting source of social evil. Page 41, 15.9. Let us sum up. In this unit, we have discussed the important socialist movement in the history of freedom struggle in India. The 19th century was the period of political and cultural review in our country. In fact, the national movement of independence and self-assertion began with a cultural revival. The establishment of British rule resulted in the cultural valves losing their vitality and going into decline, people raising their self-confidence, developing an inferiority complex. the answer to this state of things was cultural revival. It was a necessary precursor to the political movement, as it was only its basis that the political agitation which required faith, courage and self-confidence could be built. Among the outstanding personalities who pioneered this great cultural movement were Raja Ram Mohan Roy, Dayanand Saraswati Theosophical Society, Ramakrishna Mission, Muslim Reform Movement, Mahatma Gandhi and the work of Dr. B.R. Ambedkar. Further, we learn in this unit that above the Hindu social religious reforms contributed towards the growth of national consciousness in the national movement for the independence. They developed national patriotism by glorifying the nation in different fields of life. They were the true patriots who loved their country and worked for its welfare and national solidarity. Their contribution towards the national awakening is remarkable. 15.10 Self-assessment questions. First Roman, answer the following. 1. Sati system. 2. Widow remarriage. 3. Brahma Samaj. 4. Madame Blavatsky. And 5. Harijan Sevak Sangh. 2. Answer the following. 1. Discuss the social movement in India prior to the independence of 1947. 2. Estimate the contribution of Dr. B.R. Ambedkar to uplift the depressed classes. And 3. Give an estimate of the role of Mahatma Gandhi as a social reformer. Page 42. 15.11. Books for further study. 1. Desai A.R. Social Background of Indian Nationalism. 2. Jamuna Nag, Raja Ram Mohan Roy. 3. B.K. Singh, Swami Dayanand. 4. L.P. Sharma, History of Modern India. 5. S.P. Sen, ed. Social Contents of Indian Religious Reform Movement. 6. B.R. Nanda, Mahatma Gandhi, A Biography. And 7. K.M. Munshi, Pilgrimage to Freedom.